Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives.
Fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. We are so glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Mandy Gibson, and you're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. This is show number 701, and today is Monday, September 9th, 2019.
And I'm your co-host, Brittany O'Keefe. We have a great show planned for you this evening. Our featured guest tonight is Amanda Beatty. Amanda will talk to us about Semper K9, a combat veteran-founded and operated organization whose mission is to enhance the quality of life for wounded, critically ill, and injured members of the United States Armed Forces and their families by providing assistance dogs. You can connect with Semper K9 on social media. Their Facebook is Semper K9. They're on Instagram and Twitter at Semper K9. And at Amanda Beatty, or you could visit their website at semperk9.org. Also, coming up in just a few minutes, our News 6 Jolene will be calling in with your need to know news.
And if you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN command team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. All the links mentioned in show tonight will additionally be posted in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWN Command Team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers who are passionate about empowering you in this military life. Get to know us through our bios on our ArmyWifeNetwork.com, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. Get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives, too, because we're just like you.
Well, Brittany, let's catch up just a little bit before we move on with the show tonight. How is your life going in your household?
Well, our household is kind of returning back to normal from a little bit of chaos earlier, but it was good chaos because one of my friends from the United States, and we've been friends since high school, she came here to Korea to visit me for 2 weeks. So that was really, really awesome. I was so happy she was able to come. And the cool part is she had actually lived in Korea, in Seoul, for a few months because she had an internship here back in, like, I don't know, 2014 or something. So it was kind of nice because there were a few days where she took me to her, like, stomping grounds. And then, you know, she showed me places I hadn't seen before in Seoul. So I thought that was really cool. We could kind of, you know, trade our Korean experiences like that. And then the past weekend, she left. I mean, on Labor Day weekend, she left. So our lives are kind of slowly returning back to normal. We're also kind of getting ready for, it's called Chuseok, which is kind of like Korean Thanksgiving in a way. It's like their big harvest and family festival. So, you know, that's always, like, a sure sign that, like, the weather is changing and that, like, it's kind of becoming fall when Chuseok comes around the corner. So how about you?
Yeah, so kind of same thing for fall, but I had never been to Korea. We have not. My husband was stationed there, but it was before we met. So are the seasons about the same as kind of the typical United States season then? So fall weather is coming for you all?
Yeah, like I grew up in the Midwest, and I'd say the seasons are really similar, where, you know, you get really hot, really humid summers, and then really cold winters, although it's pretty dry here in the winter, so it doesn't snow that much. But yeah, like right now, there's starting to be that shift in the air. It's still kind of hot, but you know it's coming. You know fall is coming.
Yeah. No, I get it. I grew up kind of Midwest-ish also. So I understand what you're saying in that sense. Well, cool. I'm glad that you get to still kind of experience all things fall and that you had a great time with your friend. I know that it's, especially being in a new place, to have somebody that you know well kind of show you the ropes a little bit certainly makes a difference. So I'm glad you guys had a really good time. We've been really just kind of getting, you know, things excited, you know, for fall and all that comes with that. Our girls started school, so that's a big part of fall. And then they're, you know, they started dance class and all that good stuff. So we're really looking forward to just, you know, the upcoming events that kind of fall and then beginning of winter brings. So it's a little bit different here because we're back in Texas this year, and we were in New York for the past 3 years. And so we really kind of got all of the seasons when we were in New York, a little too much of winter, but the falls were beautiful. And so I think I'm going to miss that a little bit. I never thought I would say that I would miss New York, so don't tell anybody. I think I'll miss that a little bit because it's still like 100 degrees down here in Texas. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, it'd be nice if it just got a little bit cooler now. You know, it is September. So, but we're really excited about all things fall. And we're huge college football fans. So, you know, that has started, and, you know, that's pretty much all we do on Saturdays is watch college football. So that's another exciting, really exciting thing for us that we like to do this time of year. So really good. What I was going to ask you, were there any like key points or like really exciting things that you and your friend did when she came to visit?
Probably the most exciting thing we did is me and my friend just took a couple days off and we went to Busan, which is like their kind of like surfer city. It's like right on their southern coast. We've never been there before, either one of us. So, you know, we had a beach day and we visited like this really cute neighborhood in Busan. Like all the houses are like painted really bright different colors, and there's just like a bunch of little like art galleries and restaurants, and it's like a really cute neighborhood. We did a little bit of hiking too, so that was really exciting. We both got to see something new.
Oh, nice. That sounds really, really awesome. I'm glad you guys had a great time. Well, Brittany, let's change gears just a little bit and find out what's going on at Army Wife Network this week. Hot on our blog this week, experienced blogger Alyssa Rovacaba pins a blog about how she molded herself as an individual and a military spouse. Alyssa writes, "A new and very young military wife was contemplating her options aloud, and I couldn't help but feel excited for her. As wild of a journey as this life is, there are also so many opportunities available to us male spouses. With those opportunities, however, come obstacles, small, big, and even monumental-sized ones. Alyssa shares how her choices, her opportunities, her struggles, and her growth provided her with a chance to mold herself and overcome obstacles. You can read the rest of Alyssa's story by heading over to our blog at armywifenetwork.com and look for her post, Molding of a MILF Spouse. Brittany, what types of opportunities have come your way because you're a military spouse?
Well, I mean, not to sound like I'm plugging Army Wife Network, but I mean, that's probably been the biggest opportunity for me, is just to be part of this team. And I mean, I get to do this. I mean, I get to podcast with all you wonderful people and, like, interview really interesting people. And, you know, these are people I probably never would have met in my life unless I was doing this. So I just think it's, like, you know, I think it's a great social experience because you get to connect with other military spouses and, you know, you kind of get to share the same experiences. There's always a lot of questions and uncertainty within the military community, and just having a group of people that's been through it, that knows about it. Like, I'm still pretty new at this, and, like, everyone else has been a wealth of knowledge. So I just think the community aspect of it has just been kind of the best thing for me. Like, has there been anything really good for you?
You know, it's funny that you said that because I was thinking the exact same thing. Not only Army Wife Network, but just in general, the community that I've been able to just be in contact with and get to know. I mean, it's just been amazing. I mean, you get to meet so many different people from different walks of life that have so many different experiences. And I feel like now I'm kind of at a point where if I have a new friend or even an older friend that's going to, like, a new duty station or a new location, and they're like, oh, man, I've never been here before, I can be like, yeah, well, I know this person, so here you go. They'll hook you up, you know, they'll get you in contact and with who you need to be in contact with and tell you, you know, where the best schools are and where, you know, you can find the best, you know, Chinese food and, you know, those type of things. So I feel like just networking and being able to, you know, be involved with those different people, but also just even from like a career, you know, aspect, you know, I've been able to make contacts throughout the military that I've been able to reach back out to when, you know, I'm working in my job. And so that's been really, really cool too, because I would have never, you know, met those people or opened up those, you know, opportunities if it weren't for the military and being a military spouse. So pretty cool. The network of military spouses is pretty cool. It's, you know, people say, you know, small world, and it really is in that sense.
Yeah.
So, well, Brittany, let's go ahead and talk about what else has been going on at AWM this week.
Well, this week on our Facebook page, we did a survey for feedback from all of our awesome followers, because we've been having some exciting things happen behind the scenes here at AWN headquarters. So in order to successfully execute our mission, we need your help. If you have ever been encouraged or empowered by AWN, we'd love for you to complete our survey. Mandy, as an Army spouse, how has AWN encouraged or empowered you?
Ooh, good question. I think the biggest thing that I have learned with AWN and how I've been encouraged and empowered is, one, to just, you know, be confident in myself and kind of my background and where I come from and who I am as a person. And, you know, we kind of talked about the networking before that, and I feel like I've been given the confidence to you know, help other military spouses too, to share my journey and to share my experiences in hopes that it could help somebody else. So I think that just the confidence and just being able to network and do that successfully has really been made the biggest impact. What about you?
Yeah, when I first learned that we were going to be PCSing to Korea, I actually, that was like the first time I found the Army Wife Network. Was I was like doing a drive one day, and I was looking at podcasts that had to do with, like, military life and, like, what to expect from a PCS and, like, what the process was. And that's when I kind of found Army Wife Network. So I started listening to it when I was driving. So, like, I think that was kind of the coolest thing, was that I followed you guys, like, on social media, and then, you know, within a few months, I think I was part of the team, which was pretty cool. So, I mean, like, I started because I needed help, and now I'm trying to return that favor and help others.
Well, that's awesome because that is what we are all about. So that is great to hear. Well, listeners, as a quick reminder, just let you know that links to everything that we've talked about tonight will be posted on our Twitter feed and in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. But now it is time for a short commercial break. And up next, we're going to have our News 6 Jolene bringing us your need-to-know news. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Being around too much loud noise like a leaf blower or rock concert can cause permanent hearing loss. And once it's gone, you can't get it back. Hearing loss is the third most common chronic health condition in the U.S. Almost twice as many people report hearing loss as diabetes or cancer. The louder a sound is, and the longer you're exposed to it, the more likely it will damage your hearing. Repeated exposure to noise can cause stress, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, heart disease, and many other problems. Hearing loss from loud noise at home and in the community can be prevented. Avoid noisy places. Use earplugs, protective earmuffs, or noise-canceling headphones when near loud noises. Keep the volume down when watching TV or listening to music and using earbuds or headphones. Get your hearing checked and ask your healthcare provider how to protect your hearing from noise. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/vital signs.
Our life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to the show. We have our News 6 Jolene on the line bringing us your need-to-know news. Hi, Jolene. What do you have for us this week?
Stars and Stripes recently reported on a new program from the Pentagon called Military Spouse Transition Program, or MySTEP. The program is being rolled out this month and will offer short videos to help military spouses through all stages of their spouse's military career.
Well, this sounds like a program that we could all benefit from.
It certainly is. The MyStep program focuses on all stages of military life and divides spouses into categories: new spouses, mid-career spouses, and those preparing to transition. These three categories are labeled as stepping in, stepping through, and stepping beyond. The program aims to empower spouses from day one of stepping into military life to the day that their spouse transitions or separates. The MyStep program also focuses on a wide variety of topics, including helping spouses get their bearings and navigate military life.
Wow, Jolene, that is a big step. I would have really benefited from that stepping in info when I started my mil spouse journey. So tell us a little bit more about how MyStep works.
Okay, first what you do is head to the website. I know it's a long one, myseco.militaryonesource.mil/portal/mystep. Then find the area that you would like to explore. I started at stepping in. When you click on a video link, a video page pops up and you click play to begin. Each video has graphics, links, and a narrator who walks you through. Videos are short and easy to follow. Additionally, similar subjects are linked within the pop-up page so that you can explore the topic further. Links are provided in the text below the video as well as the transcript.
So what kinds of topics do all the new videos explore?
Well, according to MyStep website, the Stepping In or New Spouses section will cover topics such as how to reach educational and career goals, assistance with managing finances, and helping building a social network. Stepping Through We'll have videos that focus on helping spouses connect with resources that support children, how to manage the stresses of military life, maintain health and well-being, and career planning. Stepping Beyond will offer topics including help with financial planning, networking opportunities, and benefits after military life. The program anticipates adding another 180 videos within the next 12 to 18 months, with more of a focus on those spouses who will be transitioning into civilian life. About 300 videos are planned in total.
That sounds like a really, really good resource. Tell us, how does the Defense Department plan to share all of these resources?
Well, the videos are available online and is closely connected to Military OneSource, their MySECO, or the Spouse Education and Career Opportunities Program, where you can explore careers, education, training, licensing, and other career connections. Eddie Menser, the Associate Director for Children, Youth, and Families in the Military Community and Family Policy Office at the Department of Defense, told Military.com that they chose to focus the first videos on new spouses and those farthest from transition so that they could test the system and ensure that it was a right fit for the military community. They also hope to have in-person lessons for new spouses in the future. We really wanted to have an impact on newer spouses. We also wanted to learn, knowing it was the smaller bucket, Menser said. It gave us a little bit of trial and error. Menser told Stars and Stripes that he hopes the program will empower spouses by giving the information and resources they need, and then it's up to the individual to own it.
Well, thanks for bringing us this story, Jolene. I think we could all benefit from exploring the videos on MyStep, and the resource seems like a good way to find out information and, you know, keep us all connected within military life.
You're right. As I explored the videos for the story, I learned a few things, and I'm grateful that the Pentagon is looking for ways to empower us. This is your AWN News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Tony Roberts. When a child tires easily, wheezes, or coughs persistently, it could be a sign of asthma. An attack can be triggered by allergies, exercise, stress, weather, colds and flu, smoke, or other things. See your child's doctor. Asthma is serious. It could even be life-threatening. But excellent medical treatment is available. With proper care, a child with asthma can enjoy a full, active life.
A message from the Will Rogers Institute, WRInstitute.org.
Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mandy Gibson.
And I'm your co-host, Brittany O'Keefe. Joining us tonight is Amanda Beatty. She's wife of a Marine Corps combat veteran. Amanda co-founded Semper Canine Assistance Dogs in 2014 with her husband, Christopher. She is currently director and operations for Semper Canine, and an advocate for the military community with a focus on invisible wounds.
Amanda is currently Prince William Living's Director of Operations and Photo Editor, as well as Director of Operation for Brides and Weddings magazine. She is an Atlanta native with 8+ years of print and online media experience. She is also a board member of the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans.
Northern Virginia Veterans Association, and Give Back Prince William. Amanda also volunteers at the National Museum of the Marine Corps as a hospitality ambassador.
In her early work career, she was controller for a multi-million dollar corporation in Atlanta as she attended college. While finishing her degrees in optometry and astrobiology, she worked as a family service worker for the Department of Health and Human Services Head Start program. So we want to welcome you to the show, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me.
So, Amanda, I just need to give you a little bit of a warning since I'm calling in from Korea. There's usually always a little bit of a delay on my end, so it doesn't mean I'm ignoring you and I'm just kind of getting the call a few seconds later than everyone else is. So I
That's okay. I was worried I didn't have myself unmuted.
Oh, see what I mean? Well, I just was wondering, where are you calling from this evening?
So I am calling from outside of Quantico, Virginia, and that is where we live and where Semper Canine is headquartered.
Nice. So what motivated you to co-found Semper Canine with your husband?
So my husband, Chris, was a military working dog handler in the Marine Corps. And when we were in high school, we were both in the Marine Corps Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps together. And his goal was to become a dog handler in the Marine Corps. And at that time, that was in 2000. And at that time, the path to become a dog handler was you had to be an MP, military police, and then you had to be a military police canine handler. And then you could get selected for canine school if you were good enough. And he went on and did that. And after multiple combat deployments, he decided it was time to say goodbye to active duty life, and he joined the public sector, which was challenging for him, as it is for many transitioning service members, especially being that he had post-traumatic stress. So after several contracting jobs, still in the canine world, it's kind of one of those things, it's really hard to get into the canine world, and then it's really hard to get out of the canine world as well. So you know, like I said, multiple contracts that once the contract ended, you know, it wasn't really a career. It didn't feel meaningful to him. And he was selected to do an internship to learn how to start a service dog organization through the Injured Marine Semper Fi Fund. And that's how we got started. When the internship ended, it was time for us to make a decision if we were going to do this on our own. And I was 9 months pregnant with our youngest son at that time. So it was really, really scary, but I saw how it transformed him and made him feel like he had purpose again. So it was important for me to be supportive and to tackle this 110%. Plus, it's a worthy cause as well. It's something that's very needed in the military and civilian communities.
So you handle all these different kinds of canines. And I'm just wondering, like, what is the difference between an emotional support dog, a therapy dog, and a service dog?
Well, that's a great question. And we get this question all of the time. And it's really hard for people in our industry sometimes. The media and different outlets kind of get this wrong. They'll use the wrong terminology. So a service dog is actually specifically trained to perform a task for a disabled handler. So the person who has a service dog must be disabled. They must have a documented disability, and the dog needs to be trained to perform tasks or do work specifically for that disability. A therapy dog would be the type of dog that you see in a nursing home, in an assisted living community. They even have them like in a courtroom environment for kind of like for emotional support, but they're trained to do tasks for multiple people within a certain environment. So that's more of a therapy dog. You see them in hospitals as well. And that's an actual therapy dog. That's something completely different than a service dog. The training is different as well. An emotional support dog is a dog, in my opinion, it's just your pet. your dog that you have at home provides that emotional support, but it also helps people who have disabilities, who have anxiety, depression, and those sorts of things. And maybe the dog is not specifically trained to perform tasks to help you with your disability, or you don't even have to be disabled to have an emotional support animal, emotional support dog specifically. So emotional support dogs may not be trained at all. They may not even know how to sit. Service dogs are very highly trained, and they're trained to actually do things. And I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit as well.
That's good information, because I know that, like you said, I mean, sometimes even in the media and news reports, that those, I think, kind of get switched around a lot, but there is a good definition to those. So thank you for explaining that.
You're welcome.
Talk to us a little bit more about the types of dogs. So are there different breeds of service dogs? And if so, which does Semper Canine provide?
Yes. So essentially, a service animal, as defined by the Americans with Disabilities Act, is a dog or a miniature horse, like I said, that is trained to perform tasks and do work for a disabled handler. You won't see very many mini horses out there. I think there was one out in the media recently that someone had taken photos of the mini horse getting on a plane, and that is by ADA standards, that is acceptable for a service animal, assuming that that horse has been trained to mitigate disabilities. But for the service dog component, the definition is any dog. So from a Chihuahua, which my husband says that they're more like cats, as a joke, and then all the way up to just the largest breed that they make, and I've seen some pretty big dogs. But any dog is any dog breed can be a service dog if it is able to be trained to perform these tasks. As far as Semper Canine goes, we specifically help veterans, disabled veterans, and we do have active duty service members that are disabled that have service dogs from us as well. And we also have some spouses and children that have service dogs. Our dogs are typically a medium breed, and to me, a medium breed is about 50 pounds. I think the definition is a little subjective there on what a medium breed dog is, but that would be like your Labs, your Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, and these dogs, these are the typical dogs that we're training, 50 pounds and higher, because when we're selecting these dogs, and we do get them from rescues, that is where we get our dogs from, we're picking dogs before we know which veteran they're going to be trained for. And we don't know exactly what the handler of these dogs' disabilities may be. It may be for mobility. It'd be really hard if we had a veteran with an amputation that we're trying to train a Chihuahua to retrieve him or her limb. So we typically pick dogs that are going to be able to handle that type of work on top of doing some psychiatric alert for PTSD, TBIs, and other psychiatric disabilities.
Okay, well, that's really interesting information to hear. And yes, I did see the horse, the mini horse on the media lately. So I have seen that, but it's great that they're able to use different, types of animals to support. So, you guys have been doing this for a while, which I'm sure came with a ton of research on your end. So talk to us, are there any studies that prove the benefit of having a service dog?
Yeah, so that's a really loaded question, and I'm glad you asked. Right now, there's an active study with the Department of Veteran Affairs that's been going on for quite some time, and they've invested millions and millions of dollars into this program that is still ongoing. However, so we don't have the results for that. However, there are other organizations that are doing independent studies with Purdue University, Johns Hopkins University, American Military University. Semper Canine has been involved with the Johns Hopkins University and the American Military University studies. And then one of our industry allies, we kind of formed a group of organizations across the country, and you mentioned them earlier in my intro, the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans. We're a coalition of nonprofit service dog providers to veterans, and one of the other founders of that organization, Canines for Warriors, they participated in the Purdue study. There's lots of scientific evidence that service dogs do truly help, especially disabled veterans. There's lots of studies out there that service dogs help civilians that are disabled as well. But what we're specifically talking about here is the military community. And there are studies out there that prove there is a benefit. Right now, we're kind of in a holding pattern with the Department of Veteran Affairs to have them pick up our studies as evidence that, you know, that this is really working.
That's really awesome and great to hear. So, you know, we talked about the veteran a lot. This is kind of a two-part question. So obviously, you know, where you're providing, you know, the service dogs for the veteran. So what ways does the service dog help the entire family of a disabled service member? But then also, does Semper Canine provide dogs to other members of the family, such as, you know, veterans' children or a wife, those type of people?
Sure. So the way that a service dog will help the entire family, it seems so simple, you know, but some organizations aren't able to incorporate a family integration like we do at Semper Canine. At Semper Canine, we bring the whole family in for training. We're very family-oriented. We're a military family with small children. A lot of the veterans we're serving are military families with small children. And when the service member has PTSD or has TBI or has another, especially a psychiatric disability, but you know, obviously a mobility challenge of their disability, it affects the entire family. The spouse becomes the caregiver, and the children become the caregiver when the spouse is absent, or the children pick up the slack for other people in the family to help take care of the smaller children. The older child might do that. So by us providing a service dog to this veteran who has a disability, it frees up opportunities for the rest of the family to go on about their, I say, I'm using air quotes, normal life, because it's a new normal at this point. And it gives opportunity for bonding as well. You have a service dog, and yes, the dog shouldn't be petted in public, but when our dogs are at home, our Semper Canine dogs, they're just like regular house dogs. So we bring the whole family in to create that bonding experience while they are training together and learning how this is going to impact their life, because it's not just about the veteran. The veteran gets a service dog, brings it home with a family. That's a huge change in the entire family. That dog goes everywhere with them. And, you know, sometimes the children of these veterans step up and they become the voice. You can't touch my mom's dog. You can't touch my dad's dog. This is a service dog. You know, we see these children become very assertive and protective and very knowledgeable in service dog laws and rights and the rights of their parent. And it's very empowering to me to see these changes, and a lot of our volunteers as well. We have youth volunteers that help us along with the training, and they pick up the same way a military child would that is receiving this dog. So, as you know, there's just multiple ways that a service dog given to a disabled veteran with a family, whether even without children, even if it's the parents of that service member that's taking care of that veteran, when the service member has that service dog, it's supposed to give them independence. It's supposed to give them that confidence back, and it'll alleviate some of the stressors within the family that they may have been dealing with. And the second part of your question was, do we provide service dogs to spouses and children? And we do that on a case-by-case basis. It's really the bulk of our mission is to enhance the quality of life for wounded service members. And if and enhancing the quality of life for a service member is by giving his spouse or her spouse a service dog or their child a service dog that's disabled, then we'll try to do that if we can.
Great. Well, that's good to know. And also just, I want to say just how fantastic the integration program is. I just think that, you know, being able to, like you said, integrate the whole family and getting everyone involved and just makes it so such a better experience, I'm sure, for the entire family. So really great.
It does. It makes it a lot easier too for the service member that's receiving the dog. It makes them a little more comfortable as well.
I bet. That's really great. Well, Amanda, we do need to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's talk about the different types of tasks service dogs can be trained to do to help those service members.
Okay, great.
And listeners, if you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN command team. You can head over to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and be sure to use #ArmyWife to participate. And all of the links that are mentioned in the show tonight will be posted on our Twitter feed, and they'll also be in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. Hang in there. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Whether you are a mom trying to save money or a member of the armed forces deployed overseas trying to budget using another currency, smartphone apps can be great tools for saving. This is the Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. If the word budget conjures images of hours of your life lost organizing receipts and staring at spreadsheets, then throw out that calculator. All you need nowadays is your smartphone. There are many low-cost or free apps that will keep you in the smart spending zone. Depending on how tech-savvy you are, you can opt for a simple one that will display the amount you are allowed to spend each day, week, or month, or a more detailed version that will show you color charts and graphs of where your money is going. There are currency converters to help you manage money while overseas, and apps that let you store receipts digitally, and others that alert you to upcoming bills before they're due. And remember to always purchase your apps from a secure and trusted website.
This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. We're talking with Amanda Beatty of Semper Canine. And before we went to break, Amanda, I asked you if you would talk to us a little bit about the different types of tasks service dogs can be trained to do.
Well, that is a wonderful question because a lot of people don't know the answer to that. And at Semper Canine, we have two different types of dogs, I guess three, that we produce as far as the service dogs go, and that will be a mobility dog for service members who need mobility assistance because of their disability, whether it be loss of limb, traumatic brain injury, balance issues, that sort of thing. Then we have a psychiatric alert, which would be for your PTSD, traumatic brain injury as well, anxiety, depression, those sorts of disabilities would be on the psychiatric side. And then we have what we've kind of coined the mental health mobility dog, and that would be a dog that's trained to do both, a combination of both. So the tasks we train all of our dogs to do, we get them as far as we can get them to go, whether it be turning on the lights, retrieving medical pouches with medicine, medical bottles, bottles of water, opening the refrigerator. And once we've identified what that veteran and that family needs, what their needs are, we will customize the training for that dog specifically to the needs of the veteran. So, like I said, it could be turning on the light. It could be interrupting a nightmare. nightmare interruption. It could be removing socks. Maybe they get dizzy bending down to take their socks off or putting their shoes on, and the service dog can be trained to assist with that. Picking up the leash is also something. But the main task that their job is to do is to help that handler navigate the public. One of the reasons you would have a service dog is if your disability affects your public access. And by public access, I mean just your ability to go out in public, whether it be to the grocery store, to a movie, to a concert, for a walk in your neighborhood. If your disability is affecting your ability to do that, then you would need that service dog to help mitigate your disability to get you into those environments. And for the psychiatric alert side, where you wouldn't need the mobility assistance, dogs are trained to do numerous things. And one of them could be picking up on a trigger for anxiety. A lot of veterans with PTSD will tap their foot. Some will pick at their fingernail. Some will, you know, rub their hands together, rub their hands on their legs, scratch their head. And when we know what those triggers are, we will then teach the dog, when they recognize that trigger, to do something, get the veteran's attention, try to get the veteran to pet them. I need to go to the restroom. It's time to take me out to the restroom. You know, give them an excuse to get out of that situation, whatever it may be, or just to be there as a calming presence. And the dogs are just trained. Like I said, you can train a dog to do anything. My husband trained dogs to detect IEDs in Iraq and Afghanistan, and to find weapons, and to find drugs, and to find bed bugs. He's even done that. So you can train a dog to do just all sorts of things. Dogs are just phenomenal. So, again, it's just picking up on whatever those cues are and rewarding the dog and reinforcing that behavior. One thing that we do not do at Semper Canine is a medical alert for seizures, diabetes, and that sort of thing. We do not do diabetic alert, seizure alert, or any of those types of service dogs. And but there are great organizations out there that do them. It's just a little more than we're ready to dive into right now, and we don't have that much of a need. However, we do have where a service member has come to us and said, my dog is alerting on my seizures. Can you, like my dog is in my personal pet, can you help me train this dog to be my service dog? And we have done, we do that on a regular basis. It's called our maintenance training program. And again, all of these services are provided at no cost. So when the veterans come to us, we try to even get their travel covered. We help veterans from all across the country, and we have a dog in Hawaii and one in Yokota Air Base in Japan. So you know, we try our best to keep all the costs down, but we really try to customize those tasks to what the family needs and what will help the entire family, but specifically that handler, because that's the true definition of a service dog.
Wow, that is really crazy. This, all of the different things that you can, you know, train a service dog to do. We're over here, you know, the bed bugs. Oh my gosh, like you wouldn't think about something like that, but just even from all of the, you know, emotional states, from, you know, anxiety to, you know, helping with, you know, day-to-day functions. It's just really crazy how service dogs can be so helpful for just a wide variety of different tasks and emotional, you know, triggers. And you kind of touched on this a little bit, that you do some of those things, you know, free of charge for the service member. So does it cost to train a service dog? And do you guys at Semper Canine charge for any of the services that you offer?
So it does cost Semper Canine money to train a service dog. There's a lot involved in the training process. The training process can take 9 months for a dog that we're getting that's 3 or 4 months old that we're rescuing, or up to 18 months for a dog that we're getting in as a puppy. So in that time period, you've got to feed them and make sure they have the proper equipment to learn and to train and take them to the vet. And you've got to pay someone to oversee the training and to train the dogs. We're fortunate that we have a lot of volunteer support that help us with the training of the dogs. So we have two personnel who are paid that are our dog trainer and then our canine programs manager that make sure that all of the training is happening. And, you know, that probably costs us around $12,000 a dog right now, start to finish. And that includes helping train the veteran. Someone has to train the veteran and the veteran's family how to handle the dog and how to become a dog handler. So we're fortunate that we have a lot of great support through the community. It's always something that we need because we've got dogs rotating in and out, and we do not charge for any of our services. So once the veteran graduates, they're getting a dog that you know, is costing our organization around $12,000 to produce for them. And we rely heavily on donors, grants, community events that people do all across the country for us to raise those funds so that we can essentially keep providing service dogs and grow so that we can help more military families in need.
What a fantastic way to be able to support our veterans. We've talked a little bit about the different types of service dogs you can train. I know that you mentioned, you know, some veterans might bring in their dog wanting assistance. You've talked a little bit about, you know, rescue dogs, but talk to us a little bit more about kind of what the process is and how you find your dogs that are trained to become the service dogs.
So when we started Semper Canine, our goals were that we wanted to utilize rescue dogs, and we do most of our dogs do come from shelters, and they come from animal rescues. We're partnered with Operation Paws for Homes. They're a satellite rescue here in Virginia, and they rescue from high kill shelters around the East Coast. And we fortunately have an opportunity to evaluate a litter of rescue puppies when they have a pregnant female come in. You know, if the mama dog is in that breed and size that we're kind of looking for, then we'll evaluate their pups, and we get a lot of rescue puppies from that way. And the other really neat thing about what we do is we then name those dogs after service members who have been killed in action or have gone on to do great things after their service, and their family and friends nominate them through a nomination process on our website. So we give that dog a new purpose aside from what we were already doing, and that's to honor the memory or honor the legacy of a service member. So that's something that's really important to our veterans that are receiving these dogs as well, because then they have something, you know, a story to tell about their dog. Not only does this dog do all these great things to help me, but this dog's named after this veteran or this veteran, and you know, this is their story. So it's a way for that family to keep their dog, I mean, their family member's name, you know, living on and helping fellow service members. Continuing to help them. So it's really special, and we love getting new name nominations, and we have that on our website that you can go and nominate someone to have a service dog named after them. But rescue is typically how we're getting our dogs, and occasionally we have a military member who breeds dogs that will donate a purebred puppy to us if the dog passes our temperament testing.
So that's some really interesting information right there. And, you know, I really hope that people who have a need for this kind of thing will go out of their way and look up your organization and, you know, try to get the help that they deserve, especially through dogs, which is really awesome that you're using rescue dogs as well. It kind of helping out both ends of the world. And,
right.
And I'm just wondering if our listeners want to find out how they could support Semper Canine, you know, how can they do that?
Well, I think as I mentioned it earlier, it does cost us money to train these dogs, and we will never charge the veterans for the dogs. My husband has said whether we have $0 in Semper Canine, we will continue forward providing dogs to veterans. However, it would be nice to not have $0. And we, you know, the more money we can raise, the more families we can help. And obviously, one of the ways you can do that is make a donation. You can go to donate.sempercanine.org and make a donation. You can make a monthly contribution there as well. Another great way is hosting a fundraiser in your town. You don't, you know, you may not be able to be here in the Northern Virginia area to volunteer, but you can host an event in your town. We have a great toolkit for community events for people to come up with ideas, whether it be a car wash, a golf tournament, a 5K, and we give you the tools that you need to do that and to be able to try to have a goal to raise enough money to supply a whole service dog to a family. I mean, that's just, to me, that's very touching, and I love everyone who does community events for us because every dollar truly helps. Another way is we have a shop where we have apparel. All of the proceeds from that come straight to Semper Canine. It goes straight to us, and we have the shop is actually here in my house. So if you order something, there might be some dog hair on it. So I hope you like dogs. But we have some great products that people have partnered with us on. Some grunt style shirts and some great T-shirts. We were on the Micro television show last year, so we have our team Bloody Do-Gooders. That's one of his terms. So we have those shirts. They're really popular in our shop. And just sharing our content on social media, because you may reach someone who needs our help, or you may reach someone who just won the lottery and they want to donate a lot of money to us. So you just never know. You know, sharing is something that's quick and easy to do. And I always tell people, if you can't give your time and you can't give your money, definitely just share, because it doesn't cost anything to share our social media posts and raise awareness, not just for Semper Canine, but for organizations across the country that are doing the same types of things that we do.
That's really awesome. And I just want to know, what's like the most rewarding parts of operating this veteran service organization?
Probably the most rewarding part to me is how strong it's made our family. Seeing my husband in his element, you know, there was a time period where he did not know what to do. He was lost. And, you know, having survivor's guilt from someone who's come back from combat, and then to also struggle with the fact that they came back home and someone else didn't, and now I'm useless. I don't have a career. I'm not able to provide for my family. You know, seeing my husband have purpose and meaning is really rewarding for me, letting him have that freedom to help the veterans that are just like him, struggling. They need some assistance, and he has that skill set, and he's really good at what he does, and he can provide them with that dog. And then in turn, giving our children the opportunity to give back right here in their own home, right here in what we do every day, and teaching them what it truly means to give back, and just the community that we have on our team Semper Canine. All of our volunteers, they're like family, and our veterans become our family, and it's just about family. So to me, that's the most rewarding part of Semper Canine and doing this, is that we've created something that just lifts everyone up. And again, it's made our family grow and be stronger. So to me, that would be the most rewarding part.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this interview. So I just want to say thank you for, you know, sharing all of this information with all of us. And I know you mentioned your donation site, you have a shop, and just kind of one more time, can you remind our listeners where to go if they want to learn more about your organization?
Yes, you can go to SemperCanine.org or go to SemperCanine.shop if you're interested in any of that stuff, and donate.SemperCanine.org for donations.
Great. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We appreciate your time, and we really just appreciate you sharing with our listeners about Semper Canine. It's a great organization that I hope and that I think that a lot of our listeners will be able to benefit from, or even, you know, choose to support your organization. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you all for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And listeners, thanks so much for being here with us tonight. You can join us next week, September 16th, 2019, when our featured guest will be Julie Cooley, joining us to discuss MilSpouse license recognition. It's going to be another encouraging and empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
And in the meantime, you could join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
We are your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's command team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.